There is no absolute time. Everything you know is wrong. Not to a philosopher, however. There is no absolute time. Think about that. All time is now, as we are being told by our current day scientists. And since all time is now, then how do we equate to yesterday and tomorrow? How do we equate to far distant past? How do we equate to archaeology and history? They don't make any sense if all time is now. So what are we talking about? We're talking about an illusion. We're talking about something which just has no reality to it. It has no persistency, consistency, or reality to it as we see it. However, there is no absolute time. Everything you know is wrong, but not to a philosopher. How many clocks do you have? How many watches do you have? How many timepieces do you have on your computer, on your radio, on your television, on your telephone, and on your wall, and on your wrist, and on your finger? You know, there are clocks of every description, every nature. And then, Ingeborg, where do you get the correct time?
Correct time, I am.
From the Greenwich Mean Time. Greenwich Mean Time. So, where do we get the correct time? We get it from the Greenwich Mean Time. Now, what does a Greenwich Mean Time mean? It merely means that they have selected an arbitrary time point at which time starts. And then they start the day. They say the day has 24 hours, and that we make up minutes here, we make up minutes there. And what do they do with the people who fly backwards around the world and fly once, twice, three times, and they have a couple extra minutes, some extra time? How do they do that? How do we take advantage of all these things? We take advantage of all these things by doing one thing, by realizing that there is no time. There is no time. We are working with an arbitrary concept which has no reality. So, what is an arbitrary concept? There was a young man on a video the other night, and he's exceptionally brilliant, and he was supposed to teach these underprivileged children, these children who did not have brilliancy as their teamwork. And so it was very difficult for him to teach them because he could not equate to him. And then he saw the young fellow had a basketball in his hand, and he said, "Okay, let's go shoot that basketball. Now you stand there, I stand here. Now where's the net?" He says, "The net is there." He says, "Where am I?" "I am here." "What sort of an angle lies between us?" And so, through that, he taught geometry to the young man. He taught him the isosceles triangle. He taught him the equilateral triangle. He taught him all of these different types of triangles that he needed to know in geometry, but were just too difficult for him to conceive of. But then he said, "Ha ha, equilateral triangle, ha ha, isosceles triangle." You see, he got the point because he could equate to it through his basketball. And the young man who taught him was brilliant enough to realize that he had to have a technique by which he could learn these things. Okay. What sort of technique do we have to learn time? What sort of technique do we have to think about yesterday, tomorrow, the next day? How do we take care of leap year, you know, where we lose a whole day or gain a whole day? How do we do that? How do we take care of, it's interesting. The Gregorian calendar, the Greek calendar, the calendar of the English, and all these things, who were the geniuses that put them together? And why did they have variances between them? And as you read the story of calendars, you find they're very creative, very imaginative, because they just piled days here and piled days there and figured out, well, they'll balance out in 1,000 years, and then we'll throw in a couple of extra days, you know, and pretend that it happened. And What happens to reality? Can you see? Can you see by the very inconsistency of time, it's not correct. It is not real. If time were a reality, it would not be inconsistent. If time were changeless in reality, then it would be a reality. But time is changeful. Time changes all the time, as you know. So always remember them. Always remember that whenever you're talking about absolute concepts, you are talking about concepts that are not changeable. They do not change. When you say the is that defines a house, Ingeborg, how do we define a house? A house is a place where people live. A house is a place where people live. Now, that doesn't mean four walls, it doesn't mean ceiling floors. You see, it never changes. It never changes. It's a place where people live. Now, what is an airport? Ellen, what is an airport? Simple.
Where airplanes take off.
All right. It's a place where airplanes land and where airplanes take off. They do both. And an airport is a... Now, when an airport is not a place where planes land and take off, then is it still an airport?
No.
No. But some people call it an airport. Some people call an airport a former airport because it no longer is an airport, but it formerly was used as an airport. Now it's just used as a marketing center, you might say. So, you see, all of these things are very interesting. Now, have any of you ever traveled? Yes. Have any of you ever been in Paris? Yes. Have any of you ever been in Frankfurt? Yes. Have any of you ever been in London, Heathrow Airport? Yes. Have any of you ever been in New York, John Kennedy? Have you ever been in John Foster Dulles in Washington, D.C.? Have you ever been in Los Angeles Airport? Now, all of these airports are they're a place where planes land and take off. But that's not all. They have hotels in the airport. They have stores in the airport. They have shopping centers in the airport. They have duty-free shopping centers and non-duty-free, depending upon whether you're behind the gate or before the gate. They have restaurants galore, and usually it's the fast food restaurants, because you think you're in a hurry to eat. You think you're in a hurry to eat, and you have 2 hours to wait, you know. If you would just go into a nice restaurant, which they have also, and spend the 2 hours dining casually and having a pleasant evening, it'd be great. But no, you want to rush. But the airport excites that and incites that in you. It is not just a place where planes land and take off. It's a place of infinite congress, of infinite business. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating when you get right down to it. It's an ever-changing field. Now, when you get back to the airport, Sylvia, what is an airport used for?
For what wird ein Flugplatz gebraucht? To have airplanes land and take off.
Pure and simple. To have airplanes land and take off. And if an airplane doesn't land and take off there, it's not an airport, even though they give it a name. Now, who is the woman in your life? In alternate marriages where the two men have a marriage together, one man is presumed to be the woman type and the other man is the man type. Now, is that man really a man, and is that woman really a woman? It's just a concept. It's just a concept. It really doesn't make any difference. Now, in many countries, they have programmed marriages where little children are joined together. And they're joined together for the benefit of the nation. And so she of this nation and he of this nation are joined together, and they're each 2 or 3 years old. And obviously, it's not a real marriage, because the marriage is when two people can consent to being married to each other. And those little children could certainly not consent to being married to each other, because they have no idea what it means. Now, does it mean that they have to be of the same sex or a different sex? No. Does it mean that they have to have a man or a woman being married? No. Does it mean that they have to... Yeah, Esther.
Yeah, Esther.
You're married to your job, aren't you? Yeah, you're married to your job. Well, now, Ingeborg, did you conduct the wedding of her married to her job? No. Not yet. But she could. Now, would that be a legal marriage? Just as legal as any other marriage. If you go to the county recorder and register your marriage, that's one thing. And then, however the marriage is put together, that's another thing. But my point is, what is reality? What is illusion? Time is purely an illusion. It always will be an illusion, and it never will be reality, because time is always changing. Ellen, what time is it now? Ellen, what time is it now? Ellen, what time is it now? It is 7:04. Now it's 7:04 and 3 seconds. Now it's 7:04 and 6 seconds. Now it's 7:04 and 10 seconds. It's constantly changing. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And we're not talking about now.
Right.
We're talking about this illusion.
Okay.
And play the game of the illusion.
All right.
What is a house?
A place where people live.
And what is a home? A place where people live. Right? So, you see, it's consistently. Now, what is a watch? It's to tell time. Why do you need a watch? Because time is always changing. Do you need to have something describe what a house is? A house is always a place where people live. Never changing. And you see, that is an absolute idea. As absolute ideas come. So think about this. Think about this and think what your thinking is about absolute ideas. And how sometimes you are trying to make something happen that never can happen. Can you make time stand still? Well, in some sort of science fiction stories, they do this, but it's not in reality. And by reality, I mean it's not in the illusionary world of the human man. In absolute, there is no time. All is now. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful concept. Something for us to consider very deeply and to consider very seriously as to whether we really are interested in absolute or not. And if you are, that's one step in that direction. So, think on these things and enjoy them and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.